diligence, whoever else is involved, Muazzin, people who clean, all these are part and parcel of the effort. With regards to Morana and his family, so we had requested them a few years back to move to Cape Town and start some madrasa. And obviously Morana didn't know what he's coming into Cape Town, strange place for him, etc. But alhamdulillah, he has come, madrasa has commenced, and students are benefiting. The word of Allah Ta'ala is being uplifted. That is what our life is on about. Allah Ta'ala accept it and take it from strength to strength. So I just want to go to the beginning of the jalsa. Morana mentioned that when the students read something or they don't clap, rather say MashaAllah, give them some words of encouragement which are found in our deen. So we find that even in our deen programs, it's just become like second nature to clap. And we learn this from the kuffar. It's not our lifestyle. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned to us Khaliful Yahud, that our way should oppose the way of the Yahud, the Nasara. We have our own unique lifestyle. The other thing Maulana mentioned is not to take photographs, videography or photography. So this too, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has in so many hadiths spoken against. In one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, La'an Allah, Allah Ta'ala's curse be on those who are engaged in picture making. So this is it's a big sin. But we find shaitan, he keeps coming out with things that trivialize major, major sins. And so it becomes like normal, you know, just to take a camera out, take a photo. Nobody thinks anything of it. Obviously, in the old days, the old system of photography, so now you have to go to a studio, or you have to get the guy from the studio to come and set up his whole thing there. It was a big mission. Then slowly they came out with these cameras. You took a couple of photos and then you had to take it for what it was called?
Developing.
Developing. You must take the flash, give it to them and then they will develop. And now you needed a big album to put all those photos in. And then they came out with an instant Kodak camera. You take out the photo at the same time it comes out. But all these things were expensive exercises. Now you've got the cell phone, which many ulama call a hell phone. And you can just go on clicking and clicking and there's no end to it. But yet it is such a major sin, but it's not spoken about because we don't go back to the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes we ourselves on our phones, we're carrying so many photographs. So Nandana was too free. That we always go back to the sunnah, go back to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is our salvation. The other thing Maulana was mentioning, that some of the students had come, they didn't know their tashahud, or they didn't know their dua'i funud, or the dua to be read, you know, after Durud Ibrahim. So generally when it comes to these type of jalsas, what we call the maktab. This is your primary level. You've got your basics that the children are learning. So these type of jalsas, they do not attract any pomp. Unlike now, it was a hifz khatam. If there was some tahfiz taking place and now there's some students completed the hifz. So now there will be a lot of grandeur to that occasion. And you know, it should be that way, because the person has memorized the Quran. It's a momentous occasion. Or you find somebody who has become a qari, or a person has become an alim. So now there will be some big jalsa held for this. But when it comes to this maktab level education, And it's like, hey, these kids now, they're doing something and they're learning something and they're carrying on. But in reality, if you really think about it and you put things into perspective, if a person memorizes the Quran, the entire Quran, so this is a great achievement. But if a person is unable to memorize the entire Quran, there's no sin on it. There's no guna, there's no sin on it. If a person becomes an alim, alhamdulillah, nurun ala nur. But if he doesn't become an alim, there's no guna, there's no sin. But if a person is reading salah and he doesn't know his tashahhud, how is his salah going to be accepted? The person is reading salah, but every day he has to read Isha salah, he has to read Witr, in the Witr he has to read Qunut. And if he doesn't know his Qunut, so he's leaving out a wajib aspect of salah. So his salah is not going to be accepted. If a person doesn't know how to read Quran Sharif properly, how is his salah going to be accepted? So I see in this madrasa, mashallah, sometimes you go to other madaris, so you find children with some funny, funny haircuts. People cut their hair, shave one side is wrong. But that haircut, it is mentioned in the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that haircut in the hadith. Now you think Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there 1500 years ago, and these things became fashion lately. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to that haircut as qaza. And there's worry, there's warning with regards to that haircut. In fact, once I had to perform a nikah in Peter Mansfield. The groom had that haircut. The groom's father had the haircut. The bride's father had that haircut. Both the witnesses had the same haircut. And when I looked around in that majma, this is about 50 to 60% of the people with this kind of haircut. And they'd be thinking nothing of it. Whereas it's such a serious thing indeed. So normally on the occasion of nikah, I mean, you want to bust anybody's bubble at that time, so, you know, joyous occasion. But I couldn't help myself when I said, look, boy, so nothing to do with the nikah, bayan, but this is a serious thing nowadays. So alhamdulillah, here I see the children, mashallah, they all got one length haircuts. I think most of them, they kurtas above the ankles. So we may look at it as little things. But imagine, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that on the 15th night of Shaaban, which will come up in another month or two, Allah ta'ala forgives so many people on that night. But the people who wear their pants beneath the ankle, Allah ta'ala doesn't forgive. Now to us, you say, but what's the big deal? I mean, pants below the ankle, above the ankle. The big deal is that Allah Ta'ala doesn't like it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us not to do it, Allah Ta'ala doesn't like it. That's the big deal. So these masoom children, some of them may be bali, they may color, but they are being taught from this age. If whatever they are being taught is complemented by the parents, now it becomes cement. But a lot of times you find that what's being taught to them at home, they go, is a different story. So they are also left in limbo. But the lessons will remain. The lessons will remain. And one day, inshallah ta'ala, they will, you know, bring it into their lives, even when the principal is not watching. So I just want to share with you one incident that took place a few weeks ago, and we'll conclude on this. There was a youngster, or there is a youngster in our madrasa. So our madrasa is a boarding madrasa, so the youngster stays in. So he came on Sunday night, because they go home for the weekend, and then he came in on Sunday night and very perturbed. says to me, he says, Maulana, you know, something terrible took place. But normally on a Sunday, we go for a ride with our four wheels, or the four bikes. And my friend, so one person was in the front, second person, and my bike was not starting on that. So I didn't go with them. I was not riding with them. Another person was in the back. Long and short of the whole thing is an accident took place. This youngster fell, or injured on the head, and he's living in a town where the hospitals do not really have facilities. The parents are people of wealth, so to spend whatever money was not a problem to them. So they got this child airlifted. And the child was airlifted by helicopter, brought to Peter Maritzburg, put into a good medical facility, and the child was in a coma. So the doctors tried whatever they could try. They had to put the child on life support and whatever else they needed to do. And eventually, they told the parents that look, there's too many injuries, too much of swelling on the brain, and there's no hope. You know? There's nothing we can do now, nothing more we can do, it's just wait and see. The other fear was that when this child does wake up, now what's going to be his condition then? Did he lose his sight? Did he lose his hearing? Did he lose his speech? Will he be normal? Will he be able to walk? Because the brain, I mean, that's controlling everything, and this is what's injured. So there were all these worries. First, whether he's going to wake up, and then if he does wake up, what's going to be? And the child was about, the child is 12 or 13 years of age. The youngster. So this child is giving me the whole rundown. This is one of his best buddies, best friends, and he's worried. He's Mona, please make dua, tell the ustads to make dua, tell the students to make dua. So we announced it a few times and spoke to, you know, the parents, etc. And this child remained in this coma for about 3 weeks. But in this time, I didn't know this. I was hearing a bayan given by Mufti Ibrahim Saleh from Oswego Beach, and he mentioned this. He says that his parents, they continued making dua. And the dua of the parents, they were imploring Allah Ta'ala, the Ruh Allah, if you could make young people go to sleep in a cave for 309 years, then what is it difficult for you to wake our son up? You made them sleep, Ashabul Kahf, you made them sleep for 309 years, and then you woke them up and they are perfect. What is it difficult for you to wake our son up? And they said, Oh Allah, we are maybe weak. We are weak in our amal, we are sinful people, whatever. But you are the same powerful Allah. So we are imploring you, we are begging you, that you come to our aid, you come to our assistance, and you wake this child up. So they continued making this dua, and whatever sadaqat or whatever amal they were making. And 3 weeks later, this youngster wakes up. He wakes up, and he's like, what's all this pipes and... He woke up like normal. He didn't wake up where now, you know, there's now some, what they call it, rehab, and he has to go for physio, and, you know, like bring him back, you know. He woke up and he's like normal. In fact, the youngster that's in our madrasa, when he went to visit him, the fellow was telling him, when we've been riding again. Like normal, like nothing happened. So the father is asking the son, what happened? So he says, with that, last night I dreamt Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to me And he put his Mubarak hand over my head. And he said to me that, look, son, you're going to be okay. And you will be a harvest. And then he says to him that you must convey my salam to your dadi, your father's mother, your granny. So I didn't get that part properly. I will listen to that bayan again. But there was something about the durood that is read after Asr on the night. Durood Sharif, we are told to read this durood 80 times on a Friday after Asr, and this is a means of the forgiveness of our sins. So there was some glad tidings with regards to that durood. I don't know whether the dadi was punctual on that durood and whether she would tell the family to read this durood, etc. I didn't really get that part properly. But this child woke up, he's walking, he's normal, he's talking, he's eating, he's fine. So Allah Ta'ala shows us His qudrat, His power. Even in our times, we see His power. But the lesson that I want myself to take, and it's good, Allah Ta'ala, may you also take this lesson. That look, we have our homes, we have our businesses, our occupations, our wealth, our all of these, our motor cars, whatever it may be. But when the chips are down, then there's only one root, and that is Allah Ta'ala. You take this family, wealthy, they've got all the means at their disposal, and they would spend anything to get this child right. They got the best doctors, professors, whoever was required. And these people are all telling them, look, hands up. Nothing we can do. And we reach our limit, nothing we can do. And the only thing thereafter is dua. To have yaqeen, conviction in the Almighty, and turn to Him in dua. And that is what pulled them through. And this is the only thing that's going to pull us through on the day of Qiyamah also. It's going to be the grace of the Almighty, the intercession of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Degrees are not going to help. Wealth is not going to help. We can't take our currency there. We can't take our property portfolio there. We can't take our motor cars there. You know, I don't know if it's like that here in Cape Town, but in Natal, in Gauteng province, so on a Saturday night now, you have the, you know, the where the restaurants are, the entertainment scene is, and now everybody who got their smart car and other thing must be, you know, polished and washed, and the exhaust must be meeting its purring properly, you know. And the person will go there now and give a few taps there, being around there, everybody must see. And in the old days, in Gauteng, then called Transvaal. So I don't know if there's any Transvaalers, people that come originally from Joburg. So in the old days, there used to be one Kapi, you know, in Portsmouth. There was Avalon Kapi, and next to it, there was a Kapi called Kentucky, but it wasn't the Kentucky Fried Chicken. So that was the only place that used to be open after the late night movie. You know. The late night movie, there was only Kapi that was open. And that person used to only make a steak sandwich. Either a cheese steak special or a normal steak sandwich. So it was at a dead end, cul-de-sac. So everybody would pitch up there, and you must make that donut. All the guys got their GTIs and GLIs in those days, or those who were more, little more, they had the bushesh, right? So they must make their donut there, come there, eat the donut, and then take off and go away, you know. So that's still in us. All this stuff, we can't take that and go. The company got no pockets. The only thing that's going to help us there is these same things that wear your pants above your ankle, have your one length hair, right? Wear your kurta, keep your topi on, read your tashahud, read your salah, be good, read your Quran. That's the only thing that's going to help over there. That's the only thing that's going to come now to our assistance. As much as, you know, there may not be that grandeur to these occasions, But in reality, this is the real thing. This is what we need. If this child grows up and he doesn't know how to make wudu, right, and he's leaving his elbows dry or his ankles dry or whatever, there's no salah that's accepted. If he doesn't know how to make istinja, he's najis, he's impure, his salah is not accepted. So he can become a doctor, professor, engineer, architect, whatever, but his namaz is not accepted. On the day of Qiyamah, he can't go with his qualifications. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala is going to ask him, right, what happened with your salah? Your salah is in order, everything else is going to be in order. Salah is not in order, sorry. Everything else is now going to go south. So these madrasas are extremely important, and as you know, it can never be overemphasized what Maulana mentioned, that look, don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Give it the importance it requires. You know, our children should be punctual. Today, the world seems to be consuming us. The schools keep demanding more and more time, extra activities after school, sporting activities, other activities, and all those things seem to take precedence. And every doctor's appointment has to be made in madrasa time. Shopping has to be made in madrasa time. Every other thing has to take place in madrasa time. The school, no. You can't interfere there, because what's he going, if he is absent from school, how is he going to earn? What's going to happen to him tomorrow? That's the figure. But we need to think a little beyond that. That if he doesn't come to this madrasa, how is he going to pass that exam when he goes into the qabr and the malaika are now going to question him? Who is your Rabb? What religion did you follow? Who is your Prophet? Those are the big things. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala take this humble madrasa with its humble beginnings from strength to strength. Allah Ta'ala take the students also from strength to strength. And Allah Ta'ala make, you know, flag bearers of Islam come out of this little place. And I accept all your efforts also. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Thank you.